Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We continue the message this morning. The Holy Spirit and his work of reproving the world. The Holy Spirit and his work of reproving the world. In John chapter 16, verse number 7, our Lord Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so we took a look at this morning about this word reproving and how it does speak according to the scriptures and other usages. Matthew 18:15, James 2, verse number 9. This word reprove is talking about telling fault, showing and revealing fault of a person, an individual, of mankind, and convincing of different things. We saw this morning about how the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in his church, because that's the context here, is this Comforter would be in the stead of Christ. Christ didn't walk with John the Baptist's disciples. Christ didn't walk with those that were never around the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ had his disciples near him. And from such, it had built his church. From such, it appointed the leadership there in the church, the apostles, that first leadership after his going on to be back in glory. And he said in his place he would send the Comforter that would do this work in the church. Of sin, because we are found in sin. We need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. And it says of sin, because they believe not on me. God has sent his Son. The Son has come. And it's very evident that the Lord would not do something that's not needed. If we have a Savior, if we have a Redeemer, we have a sacrifice, a Redeemer, a Savior, having died on Calvary's tree, being buried and raised from the dead, it's a testimony, if God has done it, that we need Him. We need what He's done. And so the Comforter does and promotes that and tells about that and does that reproving work. I've mentioned this before. You don't have a time of the day that you hear the voice of the Spirit of God out here going down the road telling these things, or maybe at noontime over the loudspeaker system of some towns where they have the noontime bell go off there in the town square. And so this is the address of the Holy Spirit of God. Don't have that. That's not the way that He works. He does this through His churches. Does this through his people that he's put in his churches. And so understand that our work is Holy Spirit of God driven. Understand our place in that. We've been saved from our sins, and we've been saved to live the rest of our lives for our Lord. We've been saved, you and I have been saved, and put in one of his local New Testament Baptist churches. And this is the work that he's given to be done. And the Lord's doing that work through us. How's your part in it? How are you meeting your part in it? Because this is how it would happen. The Lord Jesus said the Comforter would reprove the world of sin because the world doesn't believe on him. And he came, and he well should be believed in. We see in verse number 10 of righteousness. There is a need of righteousness. There is a righteousness that our Lord has. He obeyed the Father. He fulfilled the law of Moses in every way, down to the punctuation. And he fulfilled all prophecy about himself. He did it all. He is righteous. We are not. The very presenting and coming forth manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ shows us that we are not righteous. But you know what? To have fellowship with God, that righteousness is needed. We need righteousness. Our Lord goes on to say here in verse number 10, of righteousness, the Spirit, the Comforter would reprove, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. I go to my Father and you see me no more. What does that mean? I'm going to my Father. Okay, we get that. Okay, Jesus is going back to be with his Father. And you see me no more. He's told them already that in my stead I'm going to send the Comforter. And all this is relative to righteousness. Of righteousness, because you see me no more, and I go to my Father. What's that all about? Well, let's take a look here. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 3. If you have your Bible, turn for yourself and look over here and read this for yourself. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus Christ, in the beginning of his ministry, goes down to John the Baptist and says, John, baptize me. And John says, you ought to be baptizing me. John, you know, you think about John. He's doing all this baptizing, right? I mean, that fella, I bet he had big, strong arms. He's baptizing, been baptizing maybe for years. I wonder about the length of the ministry of John the Baptist. And he's baptizing. He's thinking, wonder when I'm going to be baptized. You know, he's sent by the Lord to baptize, and he's content with that. But wonder who's going to baptize me. John didn't go down and baptize himself, did he? Right? Brother Mark teaching about the church ordinances in Sunday school class in the morning. So be here for that. That's good. You need to know about those things. But I wonder, but you know, what did John think about that? John, well, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up and you need to baptize me. What's the Lord say? Verse 15 of Matthew 3, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. John, put up with it. Just go ahead and suffer it. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was sent to fulfill all righteousness, wasn't he? And you know what? He did in every respect, as we've already mentioned. Everything commanded of the Father for him to do, he did. Everything had had its place, and he fulfilled it and did it. It was the fulfilling of righteousness. A part of that was is that Jesus come and be baptized by the one sent from God to baptize, to give us that picture, that understanding, that example of how baptism is transferred on to the next. Right? John was the one that was first sent to baptize. Jesus was then baptized by John. And then Jesus started baptizing more disciples than any, John chapter 3, and John chapter 4, more than John, although Jesus didn't baptize himself. That means Jesus passed it on to somebody else. And who was that? Was it John's disciples? John didn't pass it on to John's disciples. The Lord didn't pass it on to John's disciples. But the Lord passed it on to his church, didn't he? Our brother talked about that and brought that forth from the scriptures about authority. It is that point of authority. So Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness. That's what Jesus is interested, having come as a man. He's interested in every whit to fulfill all righteousness. What do I need to do? What am I doing to fulfill all righteousness? Being baptized by John was one point of that. We come over here to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And the Lord here with his church and before his going to the cross here in the Lord's Prayer. And listen to this. Listen to what he says. In John chapter 17, we'll just take this one point here, one verse. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The redemptive atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ is as good as fulfilled. Jesus says, I've done every whit of it. And we know yet the Lord on the cross, the scripture tells us, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. He's done it. He's done it for 33 years. He's going to do it in the next day. And he has fulfilled all righteousness in that redemptive work. Now, understand about this verse. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ goes beyond that of the gospel. The gospel is what's needed for salvation. Our Lord has not finished his work of judgment yet, say, okay? But this of atonement and redemption, he has finished. In John 14, back up a chapter or so, And listen to what the Lord says here to the disciples. In John 14, verse number 27, let's read here. Peace I leave with you. John 14, 27. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord says so many times, I'm telling you in advance what's going to happen. I'm telling you in advance so that you might know. And when it comes to pass, you won't be offended because you've heard it from me here first. Okay? Jesus has said to them, even though I'm dead, I'm still in control. Wow. I love that, don't you? Even though I'm dead, I'm still in control. To paraphrase it, verse 28, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So the Lord Jesus Christ tells him, he says, I'm going away to my Father. And he said, and you're sad. He said, if you really loved me, if you really understood the working of God, you would rejoice. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ as a man. You understand, the Lord Jesus Christ had never been a man until he was conceived in his mother and born. The Lord Jesus Christ as a man, having fulfilled all that the Father gave him to do, is going back to be with his Father. Who, if you will, and the way we understand it, has missed being with his Father. And he's done it all. Our Lord Jesus Christ going back to the Father equals he has finished all that he was given to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't go back to the Father. He says, if you love me and you really understood what's going on, you would rejoice that I'm going back to the Father. Back to Brother David Pittman's message about how the disciples then continued on with great joy. Remember that? See, they got it then. They understood then. Jesus is no longer with them. They go from sad when the Lord's not with them. And then the Lord works with them. The Lord raises from the dead. And they've got joy. And then they go after his ascension with great joy. They get it. Jesus hadn't left us. Well, he's not physically here with us, but he's provided the Comforter with us. And he's in heaven over superintending everything that's going on with us here. He knows everything. We are at his marching orders, doing what he's given us to do. Jesus is still in control as we hold to it and understand the Scriptures. He's the head of the church, is he not? Isn't Jesus interested in what's going on here today? He is. He is. It's his promise. And so here, the fulfilling of righteousness is evidenced by our Lord going back to be with the Father even unto now. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, our brother speaks about this. First Peter chapter 3, we come down to 1 Peter chapter 3, we come down here right where we're at on Wednesday night. We'll just go here to this last verse. Verse number 22, okay? Let's read verse 21, okay? Read the entire sentence. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Why? Because he did it. He obeyed. Jesus has been the obedient Son, and he fulfilled the will of the Father in every way. For our sakes, to accomplish what we needed done, that, as we mentioned this morning, that his righteousness might be imputed unto us. What a miracle that is. Our brother writing here about this, Jesus, who is going into heaven, is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. That's an offtake of what our brother preached in Acts chapter 2. Let's take a look over here. Peter knew this and understood this full well. And on the day of Pentecost, he preaches this in chapter 2, verse number, Acts chapter 2. We'll pick it up here in verse number 32. And Jesus, this Jesus, hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. He said, we've seen him. We know it's all so, everything that's happened. Therefore, being by the hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So everything here you fellows have seen, all you different nations have seen, the people from different nations, this is all the working of Jesus. Again, as we've said, why would you want to be filled with any other spirit? Amen? This is the Lord taking these people that he saved and using them to glorify himself and to further the gospel and the word of our Lord. He said, it's by the Lord that this has been done. He's shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Father, Jehovah God, if you will, said unto my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord, the Master, and Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah. See? It's a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ being on the right hand of the Father is a testimony of him, he having fulfilled all righteousness. That's the kind of Savior I have, and that's the kind of Savior I want and need. Amen? Don't you rejoice in that? Oh, and such a benevolent Savior. He takes all these great, wonderful things that you and I can never even think about accomplishing or doing, and you know what? He's done them, and he gives them. He imparts them to us. Oh, may we rejoice in our Lord. Back in John chapter 6, our brother writes, here quoting the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Comforter will reprove the world of judgment, verse 11. Of judgment. Of judgment. There is a judgment. Flee the wrath to come, was the preaching of John the Baptist, wasn't it? Who hath warned you Pharisees, coming down here to be baptized? When have you been here to receive the message about the wrath to come? He said, this one that's at hand has got his fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to gather the wheat into the garner. He's going to take the chaff and burn it with fire unquenchable. You need to flee the wrath to come. The Apostle Paul and our brethren, rather, preached, save yourself from this twisted generation, because this twisted generation is going to be judged by the Lord. And so the Comforter is going to reprove the world of judgment. Of judgment. In John chapter 5, we see very clearly that how it is about judgment. This is a great message in that there's just so much to it. And I'm thankful for your patience in it. But understand, you know, this text points to a lot of things. There's a lot of pieces and parts that go with it. Look here in John 5:15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, another that he had healed there at Bethesda. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, healing again on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. This is what we do. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but had said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel, than the healing of this man. You'll see some greater things than that. Just wait. Just look out. One man has been touched. You know, and you all are losing, your jaws dropping open, and you're tearing your shirt and all that. Just wait. Just wait. That ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, giving life, even so the Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. He's got life in him too. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment. What does it say, all? Not most, not some. All judgment to the Son. Why? That all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. He said, this is the work of the Father that you all claim. And he's given judgment to the Son. That's me. Why? That he may be reverenced too. See, the Jews reverenced Jehovah God, they said. But when Jesus came along, they despised him. But understand what the Father's done. You think that you're going to stand in judgment before God the Father, so to speak. You know what? You're going to stand in judgment before the Savior, the Messiah. It's appointed by God. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know what? Jesus is the owner of salvation of sinners. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You hear him? You hear him? Or you hear the own noise that you're making? You hear your words above the word of the Lord. You have your thing that you're pursuing rather than hearing and listening to the word of God. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He is the representative of man before God and the representative of God for men before God. He is the all in all. You and I can't give an answer about anything. We need Jesus to give an answer for us. We need Jesus to bring us, to help us, to save us. He is the one that saves. Listen to this. Marvel not at this, verse 28. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, resurrection. And that shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And understand about this good and this evil. It's not our definition. It's the Lord's definition. It's all wound up right there in hearing the word of the Lord. Those that have done good, according to the definition of our Lord, have repented and have believed and trusted in Christ. God's way, God's purpose, God's salvation. Evil, the rejection, the broad way, not the narrow way, but the broad way that leadeth to death. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. There'll be no appeals, because it'll be meted out just right. It'll be perfect, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Judgment is coming. And it is our Lord Jesus Christ that's judge of judgment. In Jude, verse number 14, we read here, our brother writes, another apostle, as we understand it, writes about this of judgment. And he tells here plainly what's going to come to pass. Jude 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, the rebellious, those are wicked against God and his way. Wicked and against the truth, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words that were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They're full of the world and carnality and depravity. That's it. They don't have the Spirit of God. Who do we have? Who has us? The Spirit of God. See, understand the contrast. What spirit do you want to be filled with? That one that's just been talked about? No, I want to be filled and am filled with the Spirit of God by virtue of salvation of our Lord. I want to be controlled by Him and not controlled by another. But ye, beloved, verse number 20, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. There's judgment coming. And the Comforter reproves the world of such. We come to Isaiah 63, our brethren in the Old Testament, Brother Isaiah, a witness unto Israel and in the day there of those kings coming near to the end. Isaiah 63, look what our brother testifies here of our Lord. Who is that that cometh from Edom, down to the southeast of Israel, with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak, here's the answer, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who is it? The Savior. The Savior's been down there in Bozrah trampling. The wrath of God is being poured out. Who is this that's coming from Edom? What is it that it's down in Edom? The unbeliever and the rebellious. That's the house of Edom. That's what they were known for. They didn't follow after the Lord. Who is this great one that's coming from down there? He's got his garments splattered with the result of his wrath. He says, you know, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Verse number 2, wherefore art thou dyed in thine apparel, is the question, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat. What have you been doing? Why are you all splattered that way? Answer, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. That's not a pretty picture, is it? But see, sin doesn't lead to anything that's pretty. Sin doesn't lead to anything that's glorious. Sin leads to death and destruction and misery and woe. Sin, our Lord is being long-suffering with sin. But there'll come a time when that'll be past. It'll be over. There'll be no more long-suffering. It'll come to a day of judgment. And you know what? Jesus is merciful in that He warns us. He's warning mankind. He's warning mankind by His churches and His people and the work of the Comforter to send out this word of judgment to a lost and dying world. Been doing it for 100, nay, even 2,000 years to the whole world that judgment's coming. Isn't that something? It used to be very small and very exclusive there in Israel. But now in this church age, and the Comforter has taken up this work of Comforter in the Lord's churches, He's reproving the world of judgment. There is a judgment coming, and you need to be prepared to meet your God. You can only be prepared in Christ. Listen to what it says here. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart. There's going to come that day. And the year of my redeemed is come. I'm going to take out my vengeance for their sakes. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold, the Lord says. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I tell you what, there's judgment to come. We come to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. How about you? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord Jesus to appear? Are you ready for the Lord Jesus to come and begin these things of this judgment? Listen to this. In chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, our brother looks and sees, hears a great voice saying, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. True and righteous are his judgments. And for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah." And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Hallelujah." For a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." It's been provided for us. It's been given to us. "And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These things are true, the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." It's all about him. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Who's that? It's clear. It's Jesus, isn't it? It's our Lord Jesus. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I tell you what, contrast that with our Lord Jesus Christ in the garden when he says, "Mary," and she says, "Rabboni." Look what the Lord's done for his children. I tell you what, I praise God that by salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be following him rather than being on the receiving end of his coming. You know what? If you're here and you're not saved, you can be too. What you've got to do, you've got to turn from your old wicked way, your old wicked self-willed way, the way that you think is right, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out unto mercy, for mercy unto him. Listen to this. "And his eyes were a flame of fire," verse 12, "and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood," like we read over there in Isaiah. "And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress and of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." They were no competition, were they? Very little's written other than it was done. There was no fight. There was no issue. The Lord came and did it. It was done. Judgment time is coming. The day has come. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Judgment is coming, sinner. Are you ready? We come to chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. You remember what Jesus said? Remember what he said to the 12 apostles when Peter said, what shall we have? He said, you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you think there'll be anybody there that'll look to withstand that? Oh, no. You men from Galilee, you can't sit on these thrones and judge us. You think there's anybody shooting off their mouth like that there? Not at all. No. The Lord says it's done. And they will do so. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. You know, we think about, well, that's a subject for another time. Neither had they received upon his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, praise God. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints round about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. But I'm beginning to wonder about that fire in verse number 9, if that isn't the fire that Peter's talking about in his epistles that just obliterates everything. Rebellious sinners, the earth, the universe, and all. Because what we have here in verse number 11 is a throne. Heaven and earth have fled away. Just a side thought there. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. You know why? They only have their own righteousness. It's manifested by their works. They don't have the righteousness of Christ. That's all there is. And you know what? Everybody there is found wanting, aren't they? And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's judgment coming, sinner. And the Comforter rebukes, reproves the world of judgment. Of judgment. It indeed is coming. We could read on here in verses 6, 7, and 8 in chapter 21. Let's read those quickly. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, Revelation 21, 6, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, they're at the beginning. Afraid to trust the Lord, afraid of the Lord not being faithful to his promises, unbelieving in what he has said. The Lord says, hear my word. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then we could go to Zechariah, which we'll not read. Zechariah 14, though you that are taking notes, you can read this in your own time. In verse number 3, it says there in Zechariah 14, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Judgment. Judgment is coming. Our Lord says in John chapter in our text there in John 16, that the Comforter will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And the Lord is saying that, well, that wording is present tense, isn't it? The prince of this world is judged. In John chapter 8, verse number 44, the Lord Jesus Christ preaching to those that are there, some that feigned faith in him, they believed in him, but they believed in him more historically rather than with faith, with all their heart, unto salvation. He said unto them, listen, you are of your father the devil, and the lust desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, the prince of this world needed to be judged. And when Jesus Christ came and did all that he did, you know, our Lord pronounced a judgment on sin. That sin needs to be dealt with. There needs to be judgment and penalty for sin. Or there needs to be atonement for sin, and yet the penalty for sin is met in Jesus Christ. He says here, because the prince of this world is judged. He is the murderer from the beginning. He is the author of sin. He is a liar and the daddy, the father of it. He needed to be judged. And you know what? I tell you what, praise be to God, there is one that could step in and do it. Because you and I have no strength and no power, no ability in of ourselves against Satan. None. We don't revere Satan. By no means are we ever to worship Satan. But we are to respect Satan in that he has the power that he has. And by our Lord's power, by our Lord's blessing, are you and I protected and helped and strengthened to be able, in the example our Lord Jesus Christ gave, to stand with the Lord's word against him. Don't ever, I recommend, don't ever go out and brag or tell about doing battle with Satan. It's our Lord that fights the battle for us. You and I are called to stand in our Lord. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, the scripture says, and he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, listen, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy all that, that Satan was murdering mankind by, that men willingly followed after it, following after sin and disobedience of God and the resulting depravity from that. Jesus came in to destroy all that. Praise be to God that there is one that could come and did come that could destroy the works of Satan. Otherwise, we'd be lost. We would be lost indeed. Remember this, in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 3, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein you in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way we walk. Among whom also we all had our conversation, thinking, speaking, and doing, in times past, in the lust or the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Jesus came, and he judged the prince of this world. He judged Satan indeed. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 12, verse number 31, as the Lord Jesus Christ is looking very near, within days, if not the day before, of his crucifixion and his death. In John 12:31, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Praise be to God. The mind of our Lord is all in His mind. Even before the Lord went to the cross, it was already done. Judgment, listen, judgment has begun already in the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment has begun already with the author of sin, Satan. Shall not the pursuers of sin be brought to account? If judgment has already started with the author of sin, the murderer and the liar from the beginning, does it stand to reason that the pursuers of sin, that's mankind, will not also be judged? Sure will. If the Lord deals with the head, He will also deal with the rest. We saw in Revelation 20 about how Satan is bound for a time, ultimately cast into the lake of fire. The author of sin has been put out of business by the time of those things in the book of the Revelation. And if the author of sin is so, what opportunity does sin have? Judgment. Judgment of sin is at hand. The reproving work of the Holy Spirit in this world. How about you? Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. How does the Spirit of God or the Comforter accomplish all this reproof in the world? Through the witness of the ministry and His children and His churches. The Holy Spirit's work of Comforter in the Lord's churches is the means by which God's word and knowledge has gone the world over. It hadn't been before. But you know what? We live in a day where it is. And so, and you and I are a part of this. How are we filling our calling? How are you filling the call that you've been given of our Lord in this? We all have a part being a member here of Onstead Baptist Church. And as I mentioned this morning, the Holy Spirit's work of Comforter in the Lord's churches is indeed the work of the Great Commission. Again, if you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Christ. Once again, these things have been done, and we reason with you of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. I pray that you would receive what the Lord has said, what the Lord has done. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Not talking about what men can do and how we have children and what we can accomplish. But I tell you what, born of God, you need the Lord. And we pray that the Lord will work. You need the Lord. Be warned. Be warned. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. May the Lord help and bless His word.